James Lee Burke has written a long list of thrillers, lyrical and blood-soaked accounts of decent men and women struggling with some of the most villainous bad guys you're ever likely to read about. His most recent book is called In the Moon of Red Ponies. It's about a lawyer in Missoula, Montana, who tries and mostly fails to live peaceably in the Mountain West. But Burke's best-known hero is Dave Robichaux, a Cajun cop who lives along the water in southern Louisiana. The character Robichaux has a daughter named Allifair, and so does James Lee Burke. Allifair Burke teaches law at Hofstra University in New York. She's a former prosecutor and also an author. Her new book is called Missing Justice. So for the last part of our interviews on summer reading, a look at father and daughter thrillers. Welcome, Ms. Burke and Mr. Burke.
Oh,
thank you for having
us.
Allifair Burke, let me start with you. Your father made your name famous. I saw your first novel, which is called Judgment Calls. I instantly picked it up. Do you think he planned this for you?
No, I don't think so, but it has been an interesting experience. I'm amazed at the number of people who come to my readings and expect me to be an orphaned El Salvadoran girl who was rescued off of an airplane by Dave Robichaux and was raised in Louisiana. And they haven't been too disappointed, but I do have to set the record straight.
Your character in you've so far written two books, is a woman who works in the district attorney's office in Portland, Oregon, as you did. And I must say, she is nothing like the series characters that your father created. Or is she? Samantha Kincaid, her name is.
Well, Samantha is an accessible heroine, I like to think. She's funny and she's got a sharp tongue, but unlike a lot of protagonists in crime fiction, she doesn't have a tortured background. She wasn't abused as a kid. She doesn't have parents, you know, who were involved in crime or who were murdered. She has a very normal life, and other than the very dark things she has to deal with at work, her personal life is marked by the everyday tensions that we all have with family, her significant other, problems at work. And so she's accessible, but is in this job that presents unique challenges.
How would you describe thriller writers often are sort of wedged into categories. What's the category here?
I'd like to think I'm not in a category.
Of course.
I think what's unique about the setting of the books is that Samantha's a prosecutor, and it takes her into this world that lays somewhere between the police precinct and the courtroom. So I wouldn't describe these as legal thrillers because, to me, that's sort of an oxymoron. There's really not a lot of drama that happens in a courtroom. What Samantha does that's interesting is act as a lawyer, but as part of law enforcement. And she is behind the scenes, and she's working with the police officers directly, and she's making decisions about what should happen to people once they've been charged with a crime. And those are the kinds of decisions that people don't get to see very often, either in news coverage or in pop culture.
Could you read us something from the new book, Allifair Burke? Could you set it up for us, explain what we're going to hear, and then read, just give us a taste?
Sure. And Missing Justice, Samantha Kincaid is working on her first big case, and it's a missing judge named Clarissa Easterbrook. And in this scene, Samantha has just been called out to a construction site where workers have found the body of a woman who's later identified as Clarissa Easterbrook. Johnson and Walker would be the ones to visit Clarissa Easterbrook's family members tonight to tell them that their lives would never be the same again. These days, that concept is overused, as we all say that the crumbling of two towers changed the world forever. The kind of change I'm talking about can be claimed only by the families of the 3,000 people trapped inside. It's the kind of change that causes every other second of life, the birth of a child, a broken leg, the car breaking down at the side of the road, to be cataloged in the memory in one of two ways, before or after that defining moment in time. From what I knew of it, everyone deals with the grief of a murder in his own way. There is shock, then rage, then depression, and ultimately some level of acceptance. But then the differences emerge. What kind of survivors would Clarissa Easterbrook's family members become? The ones who die inside themselves and walk around each day wondering when their body will catch up? The ones seeking numbness in a bottle, the neighbors whispering about how things used to be different? The ones who run the websites and helplines and victims' rights groups? Clarissa's family still had options for the future, just not the ones they thought they had when they woke up yesterday.
Thank you. Jim Burke?
Yes.
In the Moon of Red Ponies is about a struggle. I guess in some sense it's kind of like a struggle between politically connected, powerful people who want to do something to the land and people who just have the power of their convictions but want to stop them. And you sort of prefigure that struggle at the close to the beginning of the book. I wonder if you could read us part of that.
Yes. You really summed up the book. That was pretty good. The one sentence in description of my novel. That's well said. This is an excerpt taken about a third way into the book. Billy Bob Holland, the narrator, has recently moved to Montana from the hill country of Texas, and he tells us a little bit about his impressions of that wonderful piece of topography. Temple and I and my son Lucas had moved to western Montana from Texas only 2 years before. But moving to Montana marked more than a geographical change in a person's life. The mountains and rivers of the northern Rockies are the last of an unspoiled America. To live inside a stretch of country that still bears similarities to the way the earth looked before the industrial age humbles a person in a fashion that is hard to convey to outsiders. The summer light rises high into the sky and stays there until after 10 p.m. The stones in a river quake with sound in the darkness, giving the lie to the notion that matter does not possess a soul. The sunset on the mountains becomes like electrified blood, so intense in its burning on the earth's rim, even an unbeliever is tempted to think of it as a metaphysical testimony to the passion of Christ.
Alifair Burke, you've obviously been around while your father has worked at the writing life. When did it occur to you that you wanted that life for yourself?
Well, as a kid, I was convinced it's what I wanted. I would sneak into his office when he wasn't around and get on his manual typewriter and write mysteries, actually, before he was writing mysteries. But I moved away from that and decided to go into law. But I think my fascination with crime and the fundamental questions of why people do the things they do and then what should the criminal justice system do to them once they've done it continued to intrigue me. And I became a prosecutor. And the whole time I was there, I was still a big fan of mystery novels and thought, you know, one of these days I'll write that book that's in the back of my head. And when I left the district attorney's office, I started what became my first novel, Judgment Calls.
Mr. Burke, I wonder, what is your ambition for your daughter as a writer?
Oh, I think she's already fulfilled it. As she said, she was writing crime fiction before I was. And in first grade, she began a series of short stories with wonderful titles. There was one titled The Case of the Hungry Caterpillar and one called The Case of the Cat Who Lost Its Meow. But anyway, she's the first crime writer in the family. But Alifair has her own voice. She's a very good writer. And I have maybe a bias, but there's no question about her talent. She's very gifted, and she acquired her success after many years of hard work. Alifair won't tell you this, but she graduated at the top of Stanford Law. She gets her brains from her mom.
Well, thank you both so much.
Well, thanks for having us on the show, Linda.
Thank you so much for having us.
James Lee Burke. His book is called In the Moon of Red Ponies, and Alifair Burke, her new book is called Missing Justice. To read excerpts from the Burke's latest novels, go to our website at npr.org. And that's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Linda Wertheimer.